their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And welcome back to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Welcome to all our listeners. Welcome, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
Anything I don't know exciting? How long we're going to be doing this segregated recording thing, but it seems like it'll be a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just moved to another higher state of restriction.
Awfulness.
Yeah. It's not... I don't think that either of us expected back in March that we would still be doing these remotely in November.
No.
Here we are. But
it works.
Hopefully everyone is hanging in there. I know it's hard. It's really, really challenging to stay sane. So we will offer a little levity in our weekly photo address.
At least try.
Right? You can laugh at us all you want. So today's topic is something we alluded to last week, and it's a little bit on portrait retouching, casual portrait. You know, we're not Hollywood magazine portrait retouching. Neither of us do that, but we both have occasionally done semi-serious portraits, family or otherwise. You know, friends. Someone says, "Can you do my family? Can you, I need pictures for my senior yearbook or whatever it might be," right? So, retouching is kind of a necessary process, and it's sort of an art form unto itself. So, what we want to talk about a little bit is just sort of a little bit about portrait photography, you know, do's and don'ts, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the retouching techniques that work,
including apps.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. So why don't we get kicked? I mean, so when we're talking portraits, I mean, I guess that's a very broad term. It could be anything from, "Hey, honey, sit here on vacation and I want to get your picture." But we're thinking a little bit more along the lines of, well, no, I want my picture taken. Like, I want a portrait because I'm going to use this for, you know, whether you're going to print it, whether it's, you know, like, for example, my mother publishes as an independent author, and she needs to update her headshots for her book covers every couple of years. And so usually we have, in fact, we're probably due for a session. It's been over 2 years now since the last one. So if lockdown ever ends, we'll do that. But, you know, someone will come up to you and say, I would like you to take a picture of me or my family or my whatever, right?
Yeah. And one common thing lately is, hey, I would like a new photo of me or a better photo of me for social media.
Right. Right.
It can be as simple as that.
I just need a new profile photo.
Number of those.
Sure.
So
and so last week we talked a little bit about it because we were talking about subject isolation and we got into like portrait lenses and wider apertures and things like that and which ones to use. But today we're going to focus more on the aesthetic beyond the lens itself. So I guess we should start with the logical thing, which is your camera and lighting setup, because for portraits, that's a lot of it. The lighting is probably 90% of what, you know, it's especially if you're doing indoor studio style portraits. Lighting is very important. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You just have to be very aware of it.
Right.
So what kinds of things do you do? Because you can do natural light portraits, you can do artificial light portraits. What are you thinking? What kind of things do you gravitate to, Rick?
Me personally?
Yeah, yeah.
Both of us have very similar lighting kits, including the stands, the diffusers, you know, all of that good stuff. But it's And you can get some beautiful stuff with it. What I really end up gravitating to, for the most part, is natural light portraits. I just enjoy shooting them. I don't like fussing with all the other stuff. So, for me, I tend to do things like, look for the lighting and northern facing windows and putting someone near one of those, getting someone in nice soft light, which can be as simple as getting into the shade outdoors and then watching the background a bit. Those kinds of things, as opposed to getting everything set up.
Right. And I've done both too, but I would say the take home message for any kind of portrait is soft lighting tends to be better. You do
At
not want to
least
be
for
in
women.
full. Yeah, you do not want to be in full sun, especially middle of the day where the sun is, up high in the sky and it creates shadows under the eyes. You just don't want that. And you can, sure, there's fill flash things you can do to balance it out, that works and it can be just fine. But I think your point about window light is really good. One easy trick, get a white sheet.
Yes.
Put a white sheet in your, just hang it up as a curtain almost, or those real thin gauzy curtains like they have in hotel rooms sometimes, and then get your subject fairly close to that. If you have more direct light coming in through a window, if you don't have that north facing option or the, it's not a good way of working. And then if you do use a flash or multiple lights, this isn't a lighting topic today, but I think having if you're going to do portraits on a regular basis, I think it's really important to look at a way of getting at least one off-camera flash, presumably with some kind of modifier like a diffuser. And I think the easiest ones to use, depending if you have a stand, and you can get those for really fairly inexpensive.
Yeah, they're not a lot.
Especially if you're just going to use them indoors, you don't have to weight them down or anything. But an off-camera flash that you can control with your camera, usually with either a pop-up flash or a little commander remote thing. And then I find that the best value for me has been the shoot-through umbrella. You can buy these umbrellas where it has a black backing and a white lining, and you can take the black backing off. So if you have the regular configuration, it works like a reflector, which gives a little bit more of a harsh, not harsh, but a stronger shadows. Then if you take that backing off, then you just get a white fabric umbrella and you shoot the flash through it. And you just need to have a little a mounting stand on the that you put on the stand, like a little hot shoe bracket that will have a hole in it with a clamp where you can put the umbrella arm, the stem through, and those work really great, even just one. And what I like about them is that they're super easy to set up because it's just an umbrella. You just fold it up, and they don't take up a lot of space. So it's not complicated, and they work really nicely because what you really try to avoid in any portrait is that harsh light. And a direct on-camera flash will not only make the light seem more harsh because it's more of a pinpoint, but it also tends to cast shadows on nearby background objects that are just unpleasing. So I think that would be, that's a topic for another time, but that's why the guys like, if you get the books by Joe McNally or whatever, and they do a ton of fancy stuff, but they also do a lot of things where it's just one simple off-camera flash. And you don't need to be worrying about all the gels and the colors and the stuff, those are great. But if you talk to if you follow Joe McNally or you follow Dave Black or any of these guys who do flash work, that's probably the number one advice they would give.
And I can't remember if we've just talked about it in the last few minutes or not, but we'll do our annual gift podcast very soon. Gift suggestions, and one of the things that we've recommended to people for years, and it's not an expensive thing, just get yourself one of those circular collapsible reflector diffusers. They don't cost very much, and they are so wonderful. They do a lot. in a very simple way. So,
and we'll they also and then get yourself an assistant to hold it.
Even better, but you can pull it off as long as your camera's on a tripod.
Right, you can make it work. Anyway, but the lighting is really gonna set it, and there's all kinds of different, you know, where do I want the lighting angles and all this stuff that we don't get into, but it makes a huge difference. And the other thing about setup, I would say, at least for portraits of women for specifically, is make sure that the hair and makeup are done.
Yeah.
I know that sounds even for casual portraits, but when you get, and the reason why I notice it, and I'm sure you do too, is that heavy makeup sounds like a real, you know, most people don't like that look. But when you're doing the photos, it gives you a better, you will do less retouching in post if the hair and makeup are done right. All it takes is one crazy errant hair, you know, somewhere, and it can ruin the whole shot. It's silly. It sounds silly, but you'll see, you know, like on a dress or a sweater or something, you know, and there's something, or then you're trying to mask it and it's a real pain. And then the real bane is shine, you know, on noses and cheeks or foreheads, especially if you're using artificial lighting or if you're outside, you know, and I mean, that can be a real problem. So tell your client, if you will, air quotes, client, or whomever, to make sure they've got that powder, you know, even if they're not wearing a ton of makeup per se, foundation, you know, covering blemishes, whatnot. Blemishes are a lot easier to retouch than shiny spots, just in my experience.
And I think the best thing to explain to them is this is not about making them look different. This is about making them look natural. And again, that shine aspect is the critical one. Now, you know, just one other quick thing, and we could move on to some more specialized things. You know, one of the things you can do, and we talked about color profiles recently, is try one that's intended for portraits. Usually it'll be a little bit lower contrast. It might brighten lighter skin tones a little bit, might throw a little bit of pink into really light skin tones in particular. Doesn't always work, but often it does, and it's just about giving yourself a nice starting point before you get into the more specialized techniques.
Right, and again, you're talking about, well, I guess it would go for anything.
Doesn't matter if it's in camera or in a RAW editor.
Right, I mean, if you were shooting in a JPEG format for whatever reason, you would want to set your camera to one of those portrait styles, but presuming that you're shooting RAW, you would want to choose either a portrait or something in the neutral. It's going to open up the shadows. It's going to create that lower contrast tone curve in the processing, and that's what you want. And that, that helps even if you were shooting in light that was maybe a little bit harsh. That can really help.
Then just in your, you know, RAW editor tool, there are a bunch of things there that you can use to get very nice looking portraits. It's a little bit more manual than what we'll talk about in a few minutes with specialized apps. But there's a lot of good stuff there. So like we were talking about shine, what's something that you'll do if you didn't have the benefit of having someone wear, you know, the makeup and stuff?
Well,
what are the go-to things that you use?
So, you know, and now I'm going to, you know that we're both Lightroom centric, so I'm going to talk about the tools that I have, but you know, there's a bunch of things that I can do in Lightroom. The first is to get to know how to use your brush tools, right? And make those, because once you get into the brush tools, you have a tremendous number of sliders for adjustments available to you. So some simple things. One thing to do if you do use Lightroom is just look at their brush presets that they already have, because they have some called like skin smoothing and things like that. And what's neat about those is that they're not hard coded. I mean, they show the slider adjustments and you can dial those back and refine them if you want to. So what have I always used in the past? Well, negative clarity is a good one. That smooths things out.
That gives that more diffused overall kind of look.
And if you're using the later version, the most recent, you know, if you're on a Lightroom subscription, you've got the Lightroom, what is it, version 10 now, I think, or something like that, whatever it is. There's the texture slider, which works amazingly well to help soften skin. So when we talk about retouching, we're usually talking about blemish removal and softening skin and reducing the effect of wrinkles and just smoothing things out. But we want to do it in a way that isn't plastic. Right. I mean,
you know, and you want to retain some texture,
you know, and as my mother will say, she says, you don't need to make me look like I'm 30, but I do need to at least you do need to knock about 5 years off. Right. You know, just get it into that place where it doesn't look hard. You know, and that, again, especially if you're photographing older people, you know, that lighting is really important because hard light's going to accentuate every little wrinkle and, you know, blemish on skin. So that's one that I'll use, that negative texture, and another one that works is you can do negative sharpening even. You know, we talked about last week, if you take sharpening down in Lightroom, say to minus 50, it zeroes out your global sharpening. If you go farther, it actually starts to blur things. So those things work, and those are easy because that just smooths things out in a way. And if you use the brush the right way, you can avoid smoothing out, you know, eyebrows and, you know, so there's that kind of retouching. And then there's the other also, directional stuff too. I mean, there's things that you want to make sharper and brighter, right? So.
Yeah, you're that's cutting right to where I was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm gonna hand that one to you. Okay.
I think we were gonna say the same thing, but I think for portraits, this is one of those times where consider at the very least turning off global sharpening, dialing it way the heck down, probably to zero, and then just with your brush tool, paint in a little bit of sharpening where you actually want it. Things like the eyes, for example.
Right.
You don't really need it very many places for a portrait, you know, so just put it where you need it. And you mentioned Lightroom centric stuff, but I will say, you know, since I use Capture One on occasion too, it's got analogous controls. You can do the same things you talked about locally. They call texture structure. You know, that's the closest equivalent. It's not exactly the same, but that gets you in the zone.
Right.
So you can certainly do nice things there too. And actually, it has a feature for getting greater uniformity in the skin tones. And that's a nice thing that you can just use within that tool. It's a good one.
I have always heard that Capture One is really well aligned for studio portraits because that's kind of their market.
I think I wouldn't say it's essential, but it does some nice things.
You know, but when I think retouching, I kind of put things into a couple of different categories. There's the skin, which can include softening the skin and blemish removal, you know, truly retouching, you know, like, you know, getting rid of wrinkles or getting rid of, you know, blemishes. And then that, you know, so that's, you know, I don't want to say diminish, but you're smoothing things out there, right? And then there's things that you want to enhance in a portrait, which tends to be whitening and brightening the eyes and maybe increasing the sharpness in the eyes. And one of the Lightroom brush presets is something called Iris Enhance, and you can look at that and see a little extra clarity, you know, a little pop in the eyes, not crazy. And then whitening teeth, where if you got a little bit of yellowness in the teeth, it's really easy to just brush in like a little bit of a white balance adjustment to take the yellow cast out.
Yeah, so a little bit in the blue direction.
A little teeny blue, real small, and then a little tiny exposure bump, you know, like 0.2, you know, like, you know, something like that. Right. Just because if you do it too much, and this is the thing, things start to look weird and alien and just not right. And we're talking about things where you get that in you, the psychological impact of slightly wider, brighter teeth doesn't need to be like you can see them from space. It just means,
No.
you know, right?
Anyone who used to watch Friends, you know, the TV show, and remembers the episode where Ross got teeth whitening done, that's not what you want. You don't want glow-in-the-dark teeth. The one other thing, if you look at the teeth whitening preset in Lightroom, because like you were mentioning, it has some nice little presets. The other thing it does is it desaturates the color a little bit.
Yes, it does. You're right. Takes
And
away
so
some color.
if you're working in a tool that doesn't have presets like that, those three parameters are the ones to play with. And the last thing I'll say on the Lightroom preset is, in my opinion, the default for that is a wee bit strong. And it does too much of the Ross
There you
Geller
go.
effect with teeth. But there's a maybe we'll do a special Lightroom tips or tricks things, but there's an almost invisible icon you can click where then it allows you to adjust all the sliders in a preset at once. So everything, the white balance, the saturation, you know, it et cetera, all comes down at once, and that's what you want to use for
Just
that.
dial
We'll
it
talk
down.
about that later.
Right. Now the more hardcore stuff, you know, these are pretty easy things to do. But when you start getting into tricky situations, like you really want to need to do like retouching, you know, we're talking about blemish removal or, you know, spots on teeth or, you know, whatever it might be. Raw editors start to get a little bit limited. Like Lightroom, you can use the auto retouch brush, but it's not always ideal. I mean, if you can, that's great, and it's good for getting rid of minor blemishes and things. But if you really need to do more heavy lifting from a retouching standpoint, you really should consider an external editor like a Photoshop or something that has, or a dedicated software tool that has tools that are designed for this specific purpose. So like just going into Photoshop, for example, if you've got Lightroom, you've got both, you know, now you've got the auto, you know, you've got the smart healing brush, and you've got the content aware options, things like patch tools and those tools that are already built into the software that use more complex algorithms that work better because they're working on pixels rather than raw files. It's just easier for them to handle that type of stuff. There are some portrait, you know, then you get into some, there's also some weird stuff you can do, like, you know, some, you know, I want to make the smile more, or the eyes bigger, or the shape, you know, and people talk about that kind of retouching. That's starting to get into a little bit more of the Vogue magazine stuff rather than, but sometimes you might want to say, you know what, I need to make your face, you know, the angle that I shot, maybe the face isn't quite the right angle, and I'm going to just tweak it a little bit. And there's a bunch of these software tools that are coming out with these, you know, artificial intelligence AI algorithms, right? They're starting to come out with these things, you know, where you can literally change head poses a little bit, you know, and it's kind of wild. And Photoshop's got some of these built in the, I think they're in the liquify filter or something like that, but
Somewhere where you would never expect them, but they're in there.
they're in there. And yeah, it's pretty wild. You know, we talked about some of these things, but are there third-party portrait retouching slash, we'll just call it retouching, that you find yourself using? I don't do a ton of it, so I think you do more than me.
I think I do more of it. And, you know, we've talked about one that I used in the past a little bit, tool called Portrait Pro. And it's obviously got some very smart algorithms behind it and stuff. But the problem I always had with it is was restraining it. You know, if you're photographing someone that's intended to look like a supermodel slash space alien in the final photos, it can be good, but for normal people, it's hard to restrain it. You know, even at smaller settings, it just wants to do extreme things to the facial shapes, to the eyes, everything. And I I would use it, restrain myself as much as possible, think it was okay, finish, and then compare it with the original shot and went, ugh, that just looks disturbing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you couldn't use it, but it just was way too strong. The one that I've been using for a few months now, and I highly recommend, I really do, if you do any portrait work at all, you know, on a regular basis, I would really consider getting it. It's On1 Portrait AI 2021.
Yeah. It's called On1 Portrait AI 2021. Yes. Okay. I just downloaded the trial version of it at your recommendation, and I played with it a little bit, and it does some remarkably nice things. And the first thing I noticed was exactly what you're talking about, is that even if I cranked a slider all the way through the max, because I do this to see what they do, not because I intend to use it.
I just
want to see, like, okay, well, what is this slider
doing?
It's
a great learning exercise.
Right. Yeah. Just crank the sliders and see what the heck happens, right? Wow. It didn't overcook it. You know, I mean, it didn't do any, you know, like, I could get it to the point, like, with the smoothing of the skin where, yeah, okay, that's a little too much. But that was at extreme settings. Most of it was actually done, and it auto-detected eyes and lips and quite nicely. And I haven't played with everything like you have, but...
Everything I've tried works. That's the wonderful thing.
That is a good thing.
It does offer a facial resculpting tool, but it's subtle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I said,
it's retouching brushes, right? It has all of that stuff on board.
So, all of that stuff, all, you know, things that will automatically whiten the teeth, and you can vary that, you know, make the lips a little bit rosier if you choose to, and different settings for the skin retouching, and it finds the skin just fine. It's also got nice presets for men, women, children, and that are age based as well as strength based. And they're, unlike a lot of presets that come with plugins where they're just too strong, these are all honestly great. That's pretty much like what you would want.
That's really great, because we've both had that with default settings or presets being just so overcooked that, you know, it's like, whoa, and you got to end up dialing everything down from that starting point. Mm-hmm. It looked really good. I have the trial. I'm considering getting it. I think it's actually on sale right now. It's about $60 in the US.
Yeah.
On marked down from, I think, 79 or 80. So that's not bad if you do a lot of portraits. And I checked, it works in Lightroom. It will work with Apple Photos. It will work with Photoshop. And it also works as a standalone app.
Right.
So it looks like you can use it regardless of whatever, you know, at the very least, you could always just, you know, export out a PSD file and, you know, or whatever, and open it an image directly.
Right. Now On1 has come out with their new raw editing tool, their 2021 version of it, and the portrait retouching stuff is included within that. So if you happen to be planning to get that or whatever, this feature will be in there. This strange thing is that the really nice settings that I talked about didn't show up, at least in the initial release. I think that was just an oops. So I
hopefully they can
manually copy them over just so I could play with it. But they are in that if you plan to get that tool. You don't need to purchase this one. But if you're not using it, and I don't normally use it, not because it's bad, it's just I like Lightroom better, but I would definitely consider the portrait plugin, just that one, the $59.99 one currently.
Yeah, I mean that seems like, for what it does, it's quite nice. So I'm going to continue to mess with it.
Pleasing experiences I've had with an app recently. There you go.
Okay, well, I think we're almost out of time for this week. So
we are.
So we want to remind everyone, if once again, if you're still with us here, you've made it to the end of another episode, pat yourself on the back, get yourself a cookie or something like that. or whatever. It's going to be a long winter, folks, and stay safe. But we would love hearing from you on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. And, you know, send
a couple
us
things that we have coming up.
Some teasers. Yeah, you already mentioned our holiday episode. That'll be coming soon.
Yep. The other thing is the two of us are playing with a loaner Nikon 14-24 2.8 Z lens.
Yes.
So, you know, we'll just be talking about that shortly too.
Yep. And very many thanks to B&H for loaning us one, which was very cool. So we'll get that out in a future episode as well. Good stuff. Okay. Well, until next time, thanks for joining us and happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.